Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our youth and adult, welcome to our main church service on this fifth day of February 2022. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, those listening to today's recording. I'm glad to have you with us from various parts of the world today, all coming together to worship our God and to dig into his word of truth and discover the bright gems of truth that he has for each one of us. Welcome, dear brother. Glad to have you with us again. And our opening song to today's service is titled, I'm Pressing on the Narrow Way. And praise God for his grace and strength to continue pressing on. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high your ground.
I want to live above the world, though Satan starts at me a hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Amen. When we think we've reached it, God says, just a little higher. Come up a little higher. There's still higher ground. It's like climbing a ladder. You struggle to the first round of the ladder, the first step, and you think you've made it. No, there's still more to go. But God is right there, beckoning you ever higher until you reach the top. And that is stepping into heaven. The dear ones, please join with me in opening prayer. Father, we thank you for thy grace, thy love, compassion, watchful care, and encouragement. We thank you for sending Jesus to show us the way and the Holy Spirit to guide us, to aid us, and empower us step by step in the way. We pray for endurance. We pray for patience. We pray that we may hold fast to our Savior, to the truth, and not let him go regardless of the cost. Help us to have a view of eternity with Jesus in the back of our mind, so that it may be what continues to empower us to move forward. Eternity with my Lord, eternity with my God. It will be worth any sacrifice that we have to make, any persecution, suffering that we are called to endure. It will be worth it all, for he is worth it. He suffered for us more than we'll ever be able to suffer for him. He is worthy of our love. So please plant this determination within us that we may be able to push through any challenge of our faith, any temptation to deny our faith, so that we can be settled into our faith, become immovable, standing forever on our Lord Jesus Christ, that solid rock. We need your help or we're lost. And thank you, Father, for helping us. Thank you, Savior, and the Holy Spirit for helping us as well, and even the heavenly angels as attendants to us, to aid us, to guide us, to encourage us. And Father, without love for thee, we'll never be able to do it. So please help us to see your love more fully, more completely, so that we will be charmed by it and desire your love for our own. And plant your love within us, that we may truly love you as we ought and love one another as we should. Love is what holds us together. It's the glue that binds us to you and to one another. So please open our understanding to your love, that we may accept it and cherish it within us. Thank you for doing so. And thank you, Spirit, for being our guide, our teacher into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And this is part 17 in our series on emotions, focusing on the emotion of love. And we're in the fourth major type of the emotion of love, and that is love shown to brothers and sisters in Christ. And last time we discovered exactly how we're to practically express this godly love from ourselves to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we saw that Christ-like love would make us kind to one another, affectionate, patient, merciful, peaceful, long-suffering, and humble towards one another. And we would actually place others ahead of ourselves. So we would not seek for the highest places like the Pharisees did, but they would allow others to go and take those higher places instead of themselves. That is godly love. And this godly love would also lead us to comfort and to edify each other, or to weep and rejoice together, depending on the circumstances. It would also lead us to pray for one another, to be at peace, to be of one mind, to be of one accord and in unity with one another. Godly love would also lead us to unselfishly help one another financially, as well as to minister and serve one another. We also learned last time that we are to express and manifest this godly love at all times and in all places, and not just to the ones that we choose to love. But we also found out that it is humanly impossible to truly love one another with this form of godly love. And so in order to live up to this high standard that God has raised, we must crucify self and sincerely ask God to plant his love within our hearts and minds through the Holy Spirit. In other words, we must be daily converted to God in order to truly love one another. Self must be dead so that godly love can manifest itself instead. But if we choose to allow self to live in us, then Lucifer and his wickedness would be within us instead of God and his righteousness. And so with Lucifer living within us, it would be impossible for us to manifest the godly form of love. So this shows us that we are either manifesting a godly, unselfish love to one another, which reveals that God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are living within us, or we're manifesting a devilish, selfish love, which reveals that we do not have Christ within, but we instead have Lucifer within, and we are not converted. But this brings up a question. Are we to manifest Christ-like love to all our brothers and sisters in Christ? Every single one of them? Or are there some that we don't have to manifest Christ-like love to? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1161.htm. So lightministries.com/ID1161.htm. So are we to manifest Christ-like love to every brother and sister in Christ? And if you look at quote number one, in any large family, such as this family in Christ Jesus, there's always going to be those brothers or sisters whose peculiar characteristics make them very difficult to get along with. So then, are we to manifest a pure, unselfish, Christ-like love even to those that are difficult to get along with? And if you look at 1 Corinthians 16:24. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. In this verse, Paul revealed that he loved all the brothers and sisters who were members of the same home church in Corinth. So we see that the Bible says we're to love all of our brothers and sisters in Christ within our home church. But is our love to be limited just to the members of our own church? We look at quote number two. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it, or love one another, to all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. So in these verses, Paul reveals that brotherly love was to be manifested for all the brothers and sisters that were in the country of Macedonia, and that their love was to increase more and more. But is our love to be limited just towards our brothers and sisters within our own country? Look at quote number three. In Colossians 1, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. In Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So these verses reveal to us that our godly love is to extend to all our brothers and sisters in the same faith, not just those located in our home church or in our state or in our country, but all around the world. And the scriptures go further and even declare that we are to manifest this godly love even to those among us who may not love us in this same godly way. We're told in 2 Corinthians 12:15, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So even those that do not love us as they should, we are to manifest this godly love for them even more abundantly. And that can be very difficult, but yet not impossible, because with God, all things are possible. But if any of us have failed to reveal this godly love to all our brothers and sisters in this remnant faith, including those who do not yet love us as they should, may God forgive us. How can God's blessings rest upon us if we are guilty of not truly loving one another as Christ has loved us? We look at quote number four from James 5, verses 8 to 9 and verse 16. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. So we're not to grudge one against another or we'll be condemned. Now, the Greek word for grudge that's used in this text is stenazo. And stenazo translates and means to make in straits, to sigh, murmur, pray with grief, groan, grudge. And that Strong's exhaustive concordance, Greek word number 4727. So this shows that we're not to grudge against one another. We're not to bring any of our brothers or sisters into tight places or do anything that will cause them to sigh, to murmur, to groan, or to be in grief, which would then force them to pray to God for help to relieve this emotional pain that we've put them through. In other words, we would do all these things to them if we did not manifest godly love. So we're not to grudge against another. We're not to bring any of our brothers and sisters into tight places or cause them to murmur or groan or be in grief, but we're instead to do just the opposite, to show godly love for them. But if we are guilty of causing any unnecessary emotional stress and pain to one another, even the least among us, even to those who do not love us as they should, then we stand under the condemnation of God. So, dear ones, if you see that you are guilty of not loving one another as you should, then let us repent, let us confess our faults one to another, pray for one another, so that any divisions or separations that have been caused by our lack of godly love for one another may be healed, may be solved and settled, so that we can be in a condition to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as true children of the Most High. And dear ones, please forgive me for not manifesting more godly love towards you all. Thank you for your prayers in helping me in this area. Now, one of the greatest causes of emotional problems that occur among and affect God's followers is not caused by intentional wrongs being committed against them. But one of the greatest causes of problems among us is brought about by imagined wrongs. Not literal wrongs, but imagined wrongs. There are so many who imagine that a brother or sister has hurt them in some way, when in fact this brother or sister never did hurt them or never intended to. It was all imaginary. But once this imagined wrong begins in the mind, the devil is right there to stir up the emotions over this supposed wrong, and then with the emotions stirred, it is almost impossible to avoid involving others in this imaginary wrong. You have to tell others what so-and-so supposedly did to you or supposedly said about you. And so now with others involved, all kinds of greater problems arise. And the further it spreads, the more people become involved, and the devil is laughing all the while as dissension and division grow and extend among a once united and peaceful body in Christ Jesus. But the fact is that all this sad division can be traced back to nothing more than one brother or sister imagining evil done against them by another, without any factual evidence to support it. It's all in the head. It's all imagined. Now, to try and prevent the devil from so easily bringing strife, dissension, and division among us, to try and prevent the mind from imagining wrong, God and Christ and the Holy Spirit have plainly admonished each and every one of their followers to do something else instead. If you look at quote number 5, in Zechariah 7 verse 10, let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. So the command from God to each one of us is, we're not to imagine evil being done against us by another. So when someone says something to you that doesn't sound quite right, you're not to imagine that this is something evilly done to you. Or if someone doesn't do something to you that you think that they should have, you're not to imagine evil connected with that lack of an action. So when the thought comes to your mind, why did they say that? You're not to go any further and imagine why they said it, because that would then give the devil permission to bring to your mind all the different possibilities as to why that individual said what they did. And the devil is not on the side of righteousness, but on the side of wickedness. So he's going to suggest to your mind that they intentionally said that for the purpose of hurting you. That is imagining evil against them in your heart. So don't give in to that temptation, yeah, amen, to surmise. God, Christ, and the Spirit also tell us in Mark 6, verse 37 and verses 41 to 42. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either, how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in your eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. So these verses reveal to us that if we believe someone has wronged us, we first had to have imagined that they did this evil to us. And then we had to have judged them as being guilty of doing this evil. So Christ advises all his followers that before imagining evil against your fellow brother or sister and then judging them as being guilty, first, examine and judge yourself to see if you're guilty of doing the same things that you believe others have done against you. Examine yourself first. And if you see that you are guilty of the same sins, then you must first repent and put away that sin. Remove that gigantic log out of your life, out of your own eye, okay? The beam. Because it's only after your repentance and putting away of this sin that you are now cleansed from this wickedness that has obscured your vision. And then you'll be able to see more clearly how to help others to remove that mote, that speck from their eye. So if you follow this divine instruction, you avoid becoming an hypocrite and an agent of Satan to stir up strife. And so you'll be in a much better position and a much better spirit to help others overcome the same wrong because you have already overcome it in your own life through the blood of the Lamb. So when the devil comes to you saying, you know, they didn't respect you as they ought to have respected you, that's imagining evil. Do not do that. Instead, examine your own heart. Have you not given proper honor to those around you who are worthy of it? If so, then you need to repent of that so that you could see clearly and not imagine evil. So instead of pointing the finger out without recognizing three fingers are pointed back at you, examine yourself first. Then you'll be able to see better how to help others. But if you choose not to obey this counsel from God, but instead believe that your evil imaginations are factual truth, then you would not be advancing towards heaven or the promised land, but you would instead be going backwards to Egypt, the land of darkness. And this would plainly reveal that you're not growing more true and honest in Christ, but are instead growing more false and deceitful in Lucifer. Look at quote number 6. In Jeremiah 7, verses 23 and 4. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. So if we don't follow these instructions that Christ has given us to examine ourselves first before we believe or imagine others have done wrong against us, we're not advancing upward to the heavenly kingdom. We're going backward to the kingdom of darkness. And why is this? In Proverbs 12, verse 20, deceit, not honesty, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. So when someone says something that you believe is wrong, or when someone does something that you believe was done to harm you in some way, resist that temptation to imagine the wrong about another. Examine yourself first to see if you're guilty of doing the very things that you were beginning to imagine others doing against you. Make sure your heart is on the side of God through confession and repentance. And don't give in to the devil's temptation to imagine or surmise evil about what someone said or did to you. So let us make sure that the garment that we wear, spiritual garment, is not a garment of self that can be easily ruffled up when someone happens to brush against us. But let us instead make sure that self has been crucified, that we have on the robe of Christ's righteousness, and that we do not believe that someone has wronged us without having the evidence. Let us instead lovingly think the best of one another and the best of their intentions and not the worst. And let us always be very slow to judge others of wrongdoing. you look at quote number 7. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, charity, or godly love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So if you have godly love, you will not be thinking evil of others. Continuing. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. God has never failed us. His love is unchangeable. Let us never fail one another. Let our love for them prevent us from thinking or imagining evil. We're also told in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, or how things affect you, but every man also on the things of others. If you put the other as being better than yourselves, you will not imagine them doing evil to you. You will give them the benefit of the doubt that what they said was innocent, what they did was without any kind of malicious intent at all. You will think them better than yourself. Now, what are we to do in those times in which the facts make it evident that something that is wrong and sinful has been seen in one or more of our brothers or sisters? What are we to do when it's plainly evident from the facts that one of our brothers or sisters has sinned? How are we to deal with real problems among us and at the same time manifest this true, unselfish, Christ-like love for those that are in the wrong? Not imagined, but are in the wrong. How can we still manifest Christ-like love to others that have sinned against us? And this is what we're going to be investigating into next time. The devil knows that if God's people manifest true godly love, they're closer to the kingdom, and thus he's closer to destruction. So he's going to be doing anything and everything that he possibly can to prevent us from manifesting godly love for one another. And that includes working on the hearts of others to manifest hatred towards us. To sin against us. And that can be a great trial in keeping self crucified so that godly love can still be manifested towards them. And we'll find out more next time how to maintain godly love while dealing properly with sin in another. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. Our closing song is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And what a joy it is, what a blessing it is to have true unity with one another in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.
Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares.
We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear.
When we asunder part, he gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
This glorious hope revives our courage by the way. While each in expectation lives and waits to see the day.
From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin shall, we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity.
Amen. If we're faithful to the end and we make it to heaven with other saints of God, with other redeemed ones, we're going to live in perfect unity, perfect harmony, and perfect love with one another through all eternity. But God will not take us to heaven without proving us first, testing us to see if we can live in unity with one another with godly love. When we achieve that, Christ says, I see my image reflected in them. I'm sealing them for the homes of the redeemed, for the kingdom of heaven. Dear ones, may we, by beholding God's love for us, receive his love in our hearts and in turn manifest godly love to one another. In doing so, we're just one step closer to heaven. But without Christ, we would never have that chance. With Christ, all things are possible, even loving those who do not love you. Amen. In Christ's name, amen. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your godly love, for that's who you are. That is what you are, love. I pray that you'll send the Holy Spirit to us, and Spirit, please enlarge our capacity to understand more about God's love for us, more about Christ's love for us, more about your love for us, that we can be changed into that same loving image. The devil loves self. That brought warfare in heaven. That brought strife and division, dissension, and all kinds of chaos. We don't want to follow him. We don't want his form of love. We want your love, because it is so much greater in blessing. Your love brings peace, contentment, joy, happiness. That's what we want. Please work a miracle and enable our minds to comprehend, to understand, to discern more about your love, that we may be able to follow it more and become more Christ-like to one another. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you also for the tests that you allow to come our way to increase our love and to help us understand how to love one another in all circumstances, in all trials. Thank you for thy merciful kindness, for thy grace that makes it possible. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, dear ones. So we'll learn more next time on how to love those who have wronged us in real life, not imaginary. Are there any thoughts or comments, questions, songs, testimonies, anything that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
Just thought of one little song we used to sing in Cradle Roll. Be loving, be kind, be faithful, be true. I'll meet you in heaven and live next door to you.
I wanted to just say it's like going to church being prejudiced and saying you love God who you've never seen and you don't love your brother. It's impossible.
That's very true, dear sister, and very solemn to think about. How can you hate your brother and yet claim you love God? It's impossible.
Yes. Yes. Critical.
Amen. It takes a miracle from above to change that kind of heart into a heart of love instead of hate. And dear ones, the devil's going to make sure that individuals that hate you are going to try your faith. They're going to test you to the utmost, because the devil wants you to hate them back. And you can't do that. As soon as you hate them back, you come away from following God to now being on the devil's side. You have to maintain godly love even for those that hate you. All things are possible with God. You have to keep telling yourself that. You have to keep praying to God for extra grace and strength to avoid treating them as they have treated you and to stay on the higher road, to keep walking on it and not step off of it to go downward. It's a battle and a march against self. And God will give you all the grace you need to keep advancing and leaving self behind. All you have to do is cling that much more tenaciously to Christ. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And Christ will bless you with grace, and together you'll obtain the victory. Are there any other thoughts, comments, songs, testimonies that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
I've been thinking of a song all week long called In the Garden. And it reminded me of Jesus in the garden. He often went into the garden to pray to his Father. And what was so wonderful about a garden? It had flowers. It had trees. It had all the things of creation that showed the love of God. So gardens are a very special place. And that's a very special song.
Amen. And let's sing this song. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
I sing in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his home. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that suggestion, dear sister. And having a garden can really bring happiness. I mean, you got to get all the weeds out of it and prepare the soil, but that's an object lesson of getting sin out of the heart and preparing it for better growth. But it is a joy, especially if you plant flowers, because just the fragrance of the flowers brings you joy. It's such a delight. And that, of course, is another indication of how much God loves you. He could have created the world without flowers, without the scent. But he knew you would be much happier with flowers and with a wonderful fragrance. And you can have a really bad day and then just go out among the flowers and it will change your whole disposition. Same thing with Christ. You can have a bad day, but spending time with him will make all the difference. So thank you, dear sister.
You know, there's a children's song that goes along with a garden. That's a pretty neat little song. I take my little rake and I rake, rake, rake. I water very well when my watering can I take. I take my little hoe and I hoe, hoe, hoe. But it's Jesus who makes my garden grow.
Amen. I don't remember that one. I'm sure I've heard it before. Thank you for singing it and bringing it back to my attention. Any other songs or requests, dear ones? Anything else that you'd like to share?
Can we sing Safely Through Another Week? Can we all sing that together?
Sure, dear sister. This is definitely a favorite of yours. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek on thy approaching Sabbath day. Day of all the week, the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week, the best, emblem of eternal rest.
Mercies multiplied each hour, through the week our praise demand. Guarded by almighty power, fed and guided by his hand. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin. While we pray for pardoning grace, through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciled face, shine away our sin and shame. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this day with thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this day with thee.
When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes, when we in thy house appear. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast.
May the gospel's joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints, make the fruits of grace abound, bring relief to all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above.
Amen. And what a lot of individuals do not recognize is part of coming into unity, part of revealing the love of God for one another, is in coming together on his Sabbath day. That's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because revealing love for one another is part of perfecting our characters. And if we isolate ourselves from one another, then we're not perfecting our characters as we could have done. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and praise God that even though we may be isolated in our community from others of like faith, we still have the ability to come together with one another on the internet. God is so good, so merciful, and what a blessing each of us receives from fellowshipping with one another in like faith on the Sabbath, in worshiping our God who makes all things possible. So thank you, dear ones, for your fellowship. It makes each Sabbath that much more sweeter to me, and I know to others as well. Are there any other thoughts or comments or songs, testimonies that you want to share?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Thank you for singing that. Thank you for singing that song. I wanted to ask a question. What if someone has left church 30 years ago and don't study the Bible? Is it a possibility they could be lost?
Yes. It is a possibility, but it depends on what they view as church. If they're fellowshipping with others of like faith, that and Christ is in their midst, that becomes God's church. So even though they may have separated from a denomination, that doesn't mean they're lost. But if they have no fellowship, that could lead to being lost because they're not receiving the benefit or the edification that comes through fellowship. Now, if it's no fault of their own, if they're isolated where they have no way of communicating with others or finding others of like faith, that can be a different situation because their guardian angel will make fellowship with them, being more than one or being two, and where two or three are gathered together, Christ is in their midst. So they can have fellowship with Christ even if they're all alone in their home. In that particular situation, it would be advisable for them to witness Christ to their neighbors or to others and seek to bring people to Christ and then have fellowship. But you also mentioned that they're not reading the scriptures. And so they're basically not communing with Christ, or they're not taking the time to hear Christ talk to them or share with them. because that, in reading the scriptures, in reading the words of inspiration, that is how we hear the voice of Christ speaking to us. So if they've left a church and they're not studying the word of God, then it's almost impossible for them to grow in grace and become a better Christian, because they're not going to the source of Christianity, which is Christ. So they put themselves in a very difficult position of being saved, because they've left the source of their salvation out of their life, which is studying Christ's word. And if you know of that individual, I would encourage you to talk to them about putting Christ back into their life. It is possible they believe that it is only in a church that they can find Christ. And since they left the church, then they are leaving the Bible with the church, in other words. But the Bible was not written for the church. It was written for the common people. In other words, those that could have been outside of the church, not just members of the church. So the Bible was written to anyone who desires to learn what God says to them. So if you can bring that information to their attention and get them to recognize that they could have communion with Christ outside of the church. They can have communion with Christ in their very home, their very bedroom, wherever they may be, by studying his word, by allowing the scriptures to talk to them, allowing Jesus, who is the word of God, to talk to them. So if they can bring the Bible back, they can bring Christ word back into their life. They don't have to go back to church. They can remain in their home. They can have communion with the Savior and again have their life renewed day by day. Not just 30 years ago when they were converted, but today and tomorrow and the next day, if they will put Christ and his word back into their life. Yeah, amen, amen. The comment in the room says, the Bible is a personal testimony about the life of Christ and how he made it possible to be part of his family. Amen. And the Bible is actually a love letter that God has written for you as an individual. Not just for a group of people, not just for the Jews, for you as an individual. So it's God writing to you, letting you know of his love, of his truth, of his salvation that has been all made possible by Christ becoming your Savior.
I must be reverting back to childhood. All of these childhood songs keep coming to mind, like the one, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. My childhood's coming back to me.
Sister Joan, I was here singing. I want to sing, sing, sing. I want to shout, shout, shout. I want to sing. I want to shout. Praise the Lord. That's what I was singing also.
Amen. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, or this childhood song. I'm going to run, 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 run to meet my Jesus. I'm going to run, 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 run to meet my Jesus. I'm going to run, 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 run to meet my Jesus. When he comes, yes, when he comes. Every eye shall look upon him. Every eye shall look upon him. Every eye shall look upon him. When he comes, yes, when he comes. Every knee shall bow before him. Every knee shall bow before him. Every knee shall bow before him. When he comes, yes, when he comes. Amen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for us. The seventh is for Jesus.
Are you counting your fingers, Brother Dick?
There you go.
I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I have C-H-R-I-S-T-M-I-H-E-A-R-T. And I will... L-I-V-E-T-E-N-A-L-L-Y. I think that's what... I'm getting old. I can't even breathe in the song.
Love it. I love it.
And dare I say, the really long children's song? Father Abraham.
Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you.
So are you.
So let's just praise the Lord.
Right on.
Father Abraham had many sons.
Many sons.
Many sons have Father Abraham. You are one of them, and so are we. So let's just praise the Lord.
Right on, let's walk, Father Abraham.
How many sons and daughters?
Many sons.
Our Father Abraham.
I am one of them.
And so are you.
So are you. So let's just praise the Lord.
Right on.
Left foot. Right foot.
I was always bad at that. I'm going to have to pass it over.
Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, right foot, left foot. Nod your head. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot, nod your head, turn around. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons. Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, right foot, nod your head, turn around, sit down.
I remember when we went to visit Sheila, Sister Sheila, and Rose was there, and Joshie was a little boy, and there were some other, you know, little boys and girls there, and they were singing this song, and they were just doing the little, you know, the actions to it, and it was so cute, and it was fun. I think somebody has it video recorded. I don't remember. We may have it. I may have video recorded it, but I'm not sure where it is. So, but I do remember Joshie doing that song in his little Sabbath outfit that he had on. And he was so cute. And I don't remember the other children that were there. I don't remember, but I do remember Joshie was there. So that was so cute.
I used to do this with my children when we lived in Texas because I knew it would tire them out. So by the time the lesson was by the time the song was over, we could listen to the lesson without any problem.
There is another children's song. It's called Everybody Ought to Know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know.
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 Who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is.
He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Three times.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. On the cross, on the cross he died. For sinners, and his blood makes white as snow. Loving, living, coming Savior, he's the one you ought to know.
Three times.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
Who Jesus.
One more time.
Everybody ought to know.
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 Everybody ought to know
who Jesus is.
Amen.
Well, have a blessed rest of Sabbath to everybody as well.
Thank you, dear sister, and you have a wonderful remaining Sabbath and a blessed new week, and looking forward to having you back in fellowship soon.
Yes, and see you Monday night, all the women. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Amen. Looking forward to you, dear sister, and have a wonderful Sabbath. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments, songs that you'd like to bring forth? Please feel free.
How about Deep and Wide? Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. I've been going through some things here recently, and I found this called My First Hymnal, 75 Favorite Bible Stories and What They Mean, and that's one of the songs in that book.
Now, there's a good song leader for a camp meeting right there, Brother Dick.
Amen, amen. He's been the song leader in several of our camp meetings. And praise the Lord for his talents in that area.
Let me turn on my camera and see if anybody recognizes this book. No. It's got a bunch of little choruses in it. Joan, aren't you watching? I haven't seen you shake your head no or yes yet.
No, I've never seen that hymnal before. That looks really interesting.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit newer than some. That doesn't look too... It didn't look like it suffered very much for over time. 1994, Randall Dennis and Karen Hanley. Apparently they put it out in 94, so this wasn't one you sang out of when you were a child. Might have some carryover songs, though. It's got the Father Abraham one in it here. I'm in the Lord's Army. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And there's got a whole bunch of verses to go with it. Zacchaeus.
I love you too, dear sister and brother, and keep looking up. Have a wonderful Sabbath. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you again. And dear ones, this has been a wonderful Sabbath fellowship. Thank you so much for your participation, for your edification, the singing, the questions and the comments. It has made my day. And thank you so much. Praise God for dwelling with us. And cementing his truth in our hearts more and more. And we look forward to having you back in fellowship soon and going over God's word of inspiration again. Until then, dear ones, go with God, keep growing in grace, and keep looking up.
Why should I sing your Kumbaya now?
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
And Sabbath hugs to all. God bless.
Yes. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, oh Lord, kumbaya.
That's supposed to be a song that originated out there somewhere in the Pacific. Come by here, Lord. Come by here. That's what I understand. It's supposed to be pidgin English or something like that.
Someone singing, Lord, kumbaya.
You can put all kinds of words in there. Someone's smiling, Lord. Someone's praying, yes. Lord. Kumbaya.
There was a song that the children used to love because it's a lot of, I think, clapping with their legs. When I remember when he died for me, I never go back anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When I remember when he died for me, I never go back anymore. No more, never, never.
Never,
That is Gordon?
No more, never, never. I never go back anymore. Bless the Sabbath, everybody. I just wanted to say hi.
Blessed Sabbath, Gordon. He was one of the little ones.
Blessed Sabbath, Gordon.
No more, never, never.
Come again, Gordon.
Back anymore. When I remember when he falls again. When it rose again. I never go back anymore. Hallelujah. When I remember when he rose again, I never go back anymore. No more, never, never. No more, never, never. I never go back anymore.
When I remember that he's gone,
amen, soon, I never go back anymore. Hallelujah.
When I remember
when he coming soon, I never go back anymore.
No more, never, never. I never
go back anymore. That was a long time ago.